5,000. I'm not sure how many times you've heard this story. I'm not sure how many times you've read it, but the outcome's exactly the same, isn't it? 5,000 people got fed from 5 barley loaves and 2 little fish. Now, somebody one time said it must have been tuna fish. And a little bit of mayonnaise in it, and because they said their mother could feed a bunch of people out of one can. Maybe you know exactly what that's talking about, right? Just add a little more mayonnaise. Is that what you do, Art? Just that you can feed more people show up, just put another little mayonnaise in there and stretch it. Tuna fish has a way of flavor stretching, doesn't it? Did you find John chapter 6 yet? What page is that on in the Pew Bible? Does anybody find it? 563. Very good. We're going to start with verse 1. Chapter 6, Gospel of John. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing is lost." Therefore, they gathered them up, filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again by the mountain by himself alone. May the Lord bless this, the reading of his holy word. This parable is found in all 4 gospels. And I'm here to remind you that Jesus is the source of every good thing. Every good thing that comes from above comes through Jesus Christ. This doesn't tell us an exact formula to follow for miracles, but it does tell us miracles do happen, and Jesus knows how to bless little to nothing. I'm probably the perfect example of that he can bless little to nothing. That he can help us to be effective in ministry. To us, it's to remind us he's in control. He's in control of all of nature. He knows how much we have need of every day. He knows what a meal, what the requirements are for life. As a matter of fact, he established the whole world as a place where food would grow. And aren't you amazed at how he feeds the animals? Did you know, no matter what time of year it is, there is a literal banquet set for the animals of the forest? Did you know that? They lack no good thing. They may eat different things in the winter than they do in the spring, but there is an abundance of food available because of the creation and what God has established. I need to talk to you just a moment about the law of spiritual seeking. If you would tell people where Jesus is, and if they are looking for Jesus, they will show up. I'm going to say that one more time. If you will tell people where Jesus is, and if they are looking for Jesus, they will show up. In this case, it was a multitude. They found out he was going to be on the other side of the lake. They walked clear around the lake to get to be with Jesus. They arrived as a multitude. They were tired. They were wet. They were miserable. But isn't that how we all show up to Jesus? Aren't we all tired and wet and miserable? Hasn't the world done damage in our lives? Even if it's a long trip, they will show up. And the longer it is, the tireder and hungrier they are when they arrive. One of the first lessons of discipleship I need to tell you is please don't send the people away. Be careful what we say. Be careful what we do. Watch for them coming. Invite them to come into the presence of the Lord. Make sure you understand it. A valuable part of being a disciple is how to be comfortable among people who are uncomfortable. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you're going to serve Jesus, then you're going to have to be comfortable sometimes when people are not comfortable, right? If I'm going to minister in the hospital, guess what? I have to be able to be comfortable among sick people. And if I'm going to minister in a jail, I better be comfortable among uncomfortable people. If I'm going to minister in the mental health unit, I better be comfortable among uncomfortable people. Right? Is this making any sense to anybody but me? And there are times in your life when you meet people who are uncomfortable, don't you? And you're the one who has to have a comfort zone a little bit different. Maybe people call it customer... Relations. That's a good word. Customer relations. Yeah. You have to know how to deal with rude people, don't you? Does that help? Okay. All the time. No, God is good all the time. That's a little different. People are not rude all the time. They're just rude to you. No. They're not rude all the time, just sometime. Somebody told me one time there's really only two mean, nasty people, and they keep moving around, and you run into them every once in a while. There's only two of them in the whole world, and just they keep running into you. But that's maybe not true. But how do you expect people to be comfortable without Jesus? They're not going to be. The time of year is revealed when this story takes place. It's just about the Passover. It's March or April. The grass was green and thick and plentiful. There are going to be some testing about the lessons you've learned when you spend some time with Jesus. Do you believe what he said? Are you going to follow through with what he said? But he already knows. In this case, when he said this to he's talking to Philip, he said this for in himself he knew what he would do. You ready for the divine insight? Before you know you have a problem, Jesus already knows what he wants to do. Do you see that? Before you recognize you have a problem, Jesus already knows what he's going to do. Does that help? Problems just surprise us, don't they? There they are. Knock on the door, letter in the mail, phone call, pain, right? We've all experienced some of those different things. I don't remember ordering them even on the internet, do you? But even before you know it's a problem, Jesus already knows what he's going to do. You might want to talk to him. You might want to spend some time with him to find out what he's going to do so you don't have to do it. Does that make sense? You can't do it as well as he could anyhow, right? So let's keep going. There are going to be some testings. There's going to be some times when you spend together. Philip, I thought he gave a pretty good answer. He said 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient. He did a little cost analysis, didn't he? Let me figure, 5,000 people, how much food, we go buy food, what's the rate of food, what's the price of bread? Oh, I better stop. If we had 200 denarii, if we had two-thirds of a year's income, it would not be enough. So I might as well stop there because we ain't got that. Did you know Jesus knows your limited resources? He understands that. If you go through that entire analysis, you begin to understand, even if you calculate the actual needs and the cost, you're still not going to have enough to do it. Because we need the Lord to help us. We need His help. We need His blessing. I have thought, when I was getting this ready, when I was putting it together, I thought about something I never thought about before. Jesus knew what He was going to do. As a matter of fact, every morsel of food on this planet, God provides. Everything. As a matter of fact, He designed the planet perfectly to produce food. How amazing is that? The whole thing is a garden. Throw a seed in the ground anywhere. You know what's going to happen, don't you? Ta-da! And they're telling me, even if you plant it in some of the coldest places of the world, even if you plant it in Siberia, in Russia, you get what they call winter wheat. It still grows. Isn't that amazing to you? God created a planet to grow food. I don't care who the most powerful man on the planet is. Whatever he picks up to eat, God gave it to him. Nothing wrong with reminding him or you of that. Whatever you pick up, I know where it came from. I can go back one step, two steps, it might be three steps, it might be, but God made that. If you're eating it, I know where it came from. And I'm not talking about ShopRite or Walmart either. It came from God. It came from the Lord Himself, the entire planet. Every morsel, God provides it. Even if somebody planted it, okay, that's all right. But they still don't know why it grows. They just know it does, so they do it. What tells that kernel of corn, you're going to grow up and be a stalk of corn? What? I don't know. Jacob, what's your favorite food? Strawberries? No? Do you have a favorite food? You going to tell me what it is? Or you? What? Is pizza a food? Pizza. I just don't happen to have any of that on me. I don't have any of that on me. I was going, well, I'll have to figure out how to do that one. I guess Domino's delivers, right? I'll call them. I don't know where the closest Domino's is. But as hard as it is for me to wrap my mind around that every food comes from God on this planet, imagine when we begin to understand that every animal, every insect is also fed by God. There's a whole new level of gifting that we can't even imagine. Every ant, every squirrel are fed by the Lord God Most High, even honeybees. And we can be thankful that God, and we must thank God for what He gives us. And not only that, but we can sanctify that food. Every creature of God is good. Nothing is to be refused if it's refused with thanksgiving, for it's sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. You get to watch your food be blessed and sanctified when you pray for it. And I think that brings God glory and honor, don't you? Thank Him for what you've been given. As a matter of fact, I find it hard to pick up even a peanut butter M&M without being thankful. Everything. Be thankful for everything. So all of a sudden, I'm exposed to the natural, supernatural, the storehouse of all food of earth. is right before us. God created it and gave it to us. This is probably a good time to introduce Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Philip's sitting there doing that mental math, and he's gone through it, and he comes to the conclusion 200 times one day's wage isn't going to be enough to feed these 5,000 men. We need more than what we got. And Andrew shows up and says, "Hey, Jesus, this is what I got." And that's what the church does, isn't it? When the people of the world say there's no way to help, Jesus reveals us, we got something. We got the bread of life. I got a little something for the world. We got the truth of the gospel. And we can take this word of truth. We can share it. Andrew shows up and says, "Hey, Jesus, what we do have, we might not have 200 days worth of money. My checkbook might not be this big, but I got something I want to give you." Give him that little bit. 5 barley loaves, 2 small fish. I think a disciple needs to learn, if you're going to serve Jesus, you're going to serve him when there are very little resources or none. But he'll still help you serve. Does that make sense? When you have very little or none, because we still can give whatever we have to the Lord. What do you tell him to do? Sit down. There was much grass in the place. Doesn't sound like they sent it. Tent up, doesn't sound like they pitched picnic tables. It just said they sat down. You know, if people are hungry, they'll sit down and wait, won't they? There are 5,000 picture of people watching. This is a picture of God's divine care, isn't it? He knows what they have need of, and he didn't want to send them away because he wanted to meet their need. That's why you invite people to church. They have needs. We know they have needs. But Jesus won't send them away until their need is met. That's why we sit down and we wait. We worship together. The Lord's distributing daily bread. He told us to pray for daily bread. I know what he's handing out. I'm reading his word. I prayed. We prayed. We need to be praying. And Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And part of that prayer was, "Give us our daily bread." But he wasn't just talking about earthly, natural food, because he's already doing that and people don't know it. They just sit down and eat. Right? Just enjoy their food. There's way too much searching for the temporary in this world. And I'm here to remind you that we need to remind the world there is spiritual food. There is the bread of life. Jesus provides more than temporary food. The manna has come from heaven. I have to tell you this, God's storehouse is never empty. I guess I got to say that again. His storehouse is never empty. His promises always have merit. We've heard too many promises from too many people that promises don't mean anything, and we have trouble standing on the promises of God because we think he talks like everybody else, but he doesn't. Disciples need to be ready to serve even when they're tired. He wants us to seek first the kingdom of God. Every day, every season, every need, declare your dependence upon Jesus. Does this help? Seek first. First thing. Prayer's not my last resort. It's my best option. I'm going to do it first. Any of you have any kids and don't know it? Yeah. In dealing with children and behaviors as a parent, sometimes if you find an intervention that works, you tend to go to it quickly. Does that make sense? If you find something that you could withhold from somebody, I remember when my daughter starts to drive a car, those keys became important to her. And I remember one day, I was standing there, and I just said, "Hey, give me the keys." And she went, "What?" I had her attention. "Give me the keys." But you can't say "give me the keys" because of something little. It had to be equal to "give me the keys," right? It had to be as life-threatening as "give me the keys." But sometimes if I was in a hurry or something, I'd say, "Come here a minute." And she'd say, "Well, I'm busy." I said, "Give me the keys." "What? For not, what? You went to the give me the keys too quickly." In this case, you can never go to prayer too quickly. I need to tell you that. You can never pray too soon. Does that help? Pray. Pray often. Pray long. God knows you're coming. He is prepared for us. So go ahead and seek Him first. Because He is blessing, we need to be careful that we observe what He is doing so that on a day like this, when we come together to a feast, I want you to gather up the fragments that are left over. Maybe there's more happening in here than you can wrap your mind around. Maybe your heart has been encouraged and your life blessed, and maybe that's all you can enjoy for the, "Oh, that's a good thing. Oh, that's a good." Gather up all the little fragments, would you? And put them somewhere. As you go from here, you can hand them out to the people who didn't hear it today. Maybe as you go to work tomorrow, or maybe on the way home, or those kind of things, you could bless a lot of people by the fragments that you heard that could bless them. Does that make sense? It's just an amazing opportunity for us to serve the Lord. We need to be prepared to serve. There is a significant blessing in this place, and I don't want it to be wasted. I need you to help, because I'm convinced there are tired, miserable people outside this place. And a little bit of blessing would help them, wouldn't it? A little fragment, just a little blessing would encourage them. And I want you to keep a fresh supply handy. I'm convinced that this is not the only place people are hungry. They are looking for the grace and the mercy. We don't want anything to be lost. So what happened? They gathered up the baskets. They gathered up the remnants. They gathered up the fragments, and there were 12 baskets full. This is just a brief introduction to the heavenly economic system. I don't care what you give to God, more is given in return than what you have given. Sometimes we talk about God bless us, but I need you to understand that in this story, there are three blessings offered. You ready? Number one, God gave the barley and the fish to the little boy. That's the first blessing. The little boy had something to eat. You don't think that's a blessing? There are places I can take you that they have nothing to eat. Having something to eat is a blessing. It is. Number two, He blessed it by the little boy giving it back to Andrew, who gave it to Jesus. That was a blessing. Do you see what happened? God gave it to the little boy. That was a blessing. He had a lunch. Oh, I don't know what he said. I don't know. Probably the same old lunch. He gave it to the little boy. The little boy gave it to Jesus. That's a blessing. And what did Jesus do when he got it? He blessed it again. Three blessings. Same barley, loaves, and fish blessed three times in this story. And then you know what happened. The little boy ate all he wanted. I'm not sure how big the barley loaves are, and I'm not sure how big the boy was. But I remember five little barley loaves and two fish wouldn't have fed Roy. My mother tells the story that she used to make two chickens when I was growing up, one for Roy and one for the rest of the family. He's laughing. Yeah, she's, and I probably got some of their chicken too. They better eat fast. Right? You can't maintain this size on snickerdoodles and milk alone? Let me keep going. I'm in trouble now already, aren't I? But it was blessed three times. It was blessed because God gave it to the little boy. He blessed the little boy that he could give it away. And then he blessed it so that he could feed the multitude with it. And not only was there 5 loaves and 2 fish, now there's 12 baskets. Isn't that amazing? There is more left than what was ever given. The spiritual blessing has been added to the material gift. Do you see what happens? There was bread and fish. That's material. We can touch it. But it was spiritually charged so that it was able to bless multitudes. Hard times are nothing compared to the effects of sin in your life. If you think being without food and being hungry and tired are miserable times, that's nothing compared to what sin can do to you. No natural storm, no earthquake, hurricane, or tornado can compare to the destruction of sin in your life. The hardest time you will serve is serving sin. And we offset that by the bread, the feast that breaks out when we minister together in love to those who are desperate. A feast breaks out. Nobody anticipated what was going to happen, but a feast, a love feast of blessing broke out. And the disciples' faith kind of grew, didn't it? If your faith needs to grow, give unto the Lord. Give what you have. Give even if it's small, even if it is little. One of the best ways to prove you are thankful for what you have is give it to Jesus. Isn't that what the little boy did? There's 5,000 men who are hungry, and Jesus, the little boy says, I'm really grateful I have a lunch. He was so thankful for the lunch that he gave it to Jesus. If you are thankful for what you have, the best thing you can do with what you have is give it to Jesus. Is this making sense? If you're really thankful for it, then give it to Jesus so he can bless everybody with what you have. So that's why we give him the good news, right? That's why we go from here with the daily bread. And if you have just little things, give that away. The ministry of love is not the same thing as being Robin Hood, where we steal from the rich and give to the poor. Because that's not kind of what we're talking about. Oh, let me go back one. But we need to give, not grudgingly, not of necessity, but cheerfully. That's a different way to give, isn't it? Cheerfully. And that's how the Lord's instructing us to give. And that's why you can't take it from me to bless somebody. That's not the same thing. The Lord has to warm my heart to be able for me to give it. That's the ministry of love. Right? Jacob had 10 bucks and I went over and took it and gave it to you. That's not blessing him or you. That's not even helping me. Right? But the Lord loves a cheerful giver because you've understood you're thankful for what you have. Does that make sense? And that's all we can share. All I can share is what I have. There's only one reason I can't give you $1 million today. Anybody know what that is? I don't have it. I had $1 until Kathy came and got it. Yeah, all right. You ready to go practice this? Gather up these fragments, take them home, bless somebody as you travel, right? Encourage them, tell them the story, tell them where Jesus hangs out, and that's one of the ways you'll find out if they're seeking the Lord. Tell them where you worship. It's that simple, isn't it? Okay? Let me pray for you. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be together today. Thank you for helping us to understand you not only provide every morsel of food on the planet, that you surprise us by blessing the little that we have to bless multitudes. So I pray that that would be true and evident and witnessed here, that this little bit that we have, as we give it to you, would be multiplied to meet the needs of multitudes. Thank you for these listening ears and their generous spirits to sit here and hear your word. Now may the truth saturate their minds and transform their lives. And let them carry these fragments of good news as disciples of Jesus to bless a world that's starving for good news. Before I say the final amen, is there someone I could pray for? Anyone, just raise your hand right where you are. I see those hands. Anybody else? Anybody need to pray with me at the altar before you go? I would do that as well. So as I say this benediction, if you want me to pray with you, come and join us here and we'll pray together. Father, thanks for blessing us with this truth, this good news that you fed 5,000. I know you have enough for these who gathered here today. Satisfy their soul. Let no one go home hungry, and may their need be met in Jesus' name. Amen.